This is Cicely Tyson. Our year is 1916, and our locale is a suburb of Philadelphia. Our hero, a somewhat sad-looking little fellow in a worn, baggy blue serge suit, is standing next to an authentic wooden cigar store Indian. The Indian has one hand to his brow, and so does our hero. The Indian is clutching a handful of cigars, and our hero, Timothy McShane, is holding a battered old tin pail filled to the brim with beer. Tim's friends and fellow drinkers are doing their best to focus a box-like camera on their valiant subject.
Hey, the pail's getting a mite heavy.
Hold still, Tim. Hold still.
Pete, my arm's about to drop and the beer'll go with it. I'm warning you.
Now, one more second, though. Katie'll love this shot.
I doubt that.
The official portrait of the president of the Tioga Beer Drinkers Association. She'll be mighty proud of you, Tim.
I doubt that, too.
Hurry it up, Pete.
All right. Smile, Tim. Stay in the sun.
You're closer to the Indian. Hold your hand steady.
Well, take it. Take it. I can't last much longer.
Ah, got it.
Lord Almighty, just in time.
Oh, pour me a drink, Tim.
Help yourself, all of you. You too, Pete.
Ah, mighty good of you, Tim. If it weren't for you, a man could be parched, cold sandpaper dry, like he was stranded on the desert with the heat and all.
Keep the pail out of the sun. We don't want none of this evaporating on us.
You're a lucky man, Timothy McShane.
Oh, I am. That I am.
Not everyone has a woman like yours.
Understanding, sympathetic.
Oh, Katie's special, that she is. Works hard, she does.
You did your fair share of working, Tim. Fair's fair.
Oh, if the steelworks opens up, we'll all be working again. Then Katie can give up the extra laundry work. Meanwhile, it ain't fair, her working her heart out, me drinking my head off.
Tim, it ain't that you're not willing to work.
Well, that'd be true, too.
Month after month, year after year.
I put in my time, that I did.
Aye, and you turned your pay over to Katie, you did that, too.
That I did, too. That I did.
Well, so it ain't that you're not deserving some rest while you be willing to work. It ain't as though you were lazy. That is true lazy.
Oh, I'll be the first to sign up when the work's hiring again.
I'll drink to that.
And I'll do the same.
And me too, boys. Hey. Have another round, Pete.
I'll be thanking you, Tim.
Nonetheless, you should be thanking my Katie.
Well, I'll be drinking to her too, Tim. To both of you.
And I'll be joining you.
To Katie. Katie McShane.
Katie McShane.
Well, now, isn't this a nice sight? Four grown men in the middle of the day with nothing better to do than standing in the sun drinking beer. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Ah, you're jealous, Mary, seeing as how we're drinking to Katie McShane.
Oh, you're a bigger fool than I thought you were, Pete Riley. And Katie McShane's even bigger, seeing as how she works her fingers to the bone, so as all you can carouse in the daylight as well as the night time. Standing out here in the broad sunshine, so as everybody in the world could see you.
In the world?
If you was my man, Timothy McShane, you wouldn't be drinking and smoking with the likes of them, and I wouldn't be giving you my hard-earned money.
And where would he be if he was your man, Mary?
He'd be helping me with the housework. That's where he'd be. Disgusting bunch.
Oh, she may be right. We're drinking on my Katie's hard-earned money. And in broad daylight.
You know, you say we continue inside Kelly's saloon.
Leastwise, Mary can't spy on us there.
Only Katie's going to know now.
Well, if she's going to know, then you'd best be preparing yourself by enjoying yourself before you start blaming yourself.
That's good thinking, Pete.
Inside, boy!
We follow you, Mr. President!
And that's how we begin a love story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Lovers by David Levy. Our stars, Dan O'Herlihy and Irene Tedrow.
There were harsh times in 1916. And to many, life was hard and unrelenting. But even in that climate, it was possible for love to flower. It's the next day now, and time to meet Katie, standing before the old black stove. She's passed some of her best years in front of that stove, feeding it coal and keeping her pot steaming. And that's Tim, carrying in the laundry in the old wicker basket.
Set it here, Katie.
You know where to set it.
Well, I just wanted to be sure. I don't want you to be lifting it if I place it wrong.
Set it down, Tim.
As you say. Can I be helping in some other way, Katie?
It's terrible what I have to be putting up with. Ungrateful children, drunken husband. No other woman would do it for the likes of you, I tell you.
Well, I said I was sorry, Katie.
Now, don't you come, Katie and me. Now, you stay over there. You smell bad enough where you are.
Ah, Katie, I didn't take a thing today, all day. I swear it. Not even one little glass. Not a thimbleful. Not even a drop. Not even a look.
And you don't have to be acting so noble. Like you should be winning a prize.
What are you cooking, Katie?
And what do you care? Your insides don't know anything but beer and whiskey. Now, stay away from here. I don't want the cooking to be smelling, too.
Well, it's mean of you to make me stand away from you, Katie. You never did that.
No, I never thought of it before. Oh, the shame you put me to. What do you care about keeping the name of McShane respectable-like? I'm sorry I ever took it.
I never expected you to say a thing like that, Katie. After all these years.
Oh, now, don't go on acting. You heard me say it a dozen times a day for the last 20 years. It's part of my catechism. But I guess the Lord picked me out to take care of you, Timothy McShane. And it's amen, I say. Amen for the drunk you turned out to be.
No, Katie, don't call me that. I take a little just to be kind of friendly.
You call it being friendly to have me find you laying on the front porch like a dead one? And Mary Kelly's father has to knock on the door to tell me my husband's out on the porch. Not feeling well, nor looking well, he says to me.
Oh, the boys oughtn't to do that. Pete knows better. They ought to put me on the back steps or in the yard. I'll tell him, Katie.
Oh, you'll tell him, eh? You got plans already to come home again drunk like as not? Well, you tell your whiskey-soaked cronies to drop you in the first river. So you be camping on the back steps, eh? And maybe have the milkman find you a fine sight.
Oh, well, maybe I could develop a taste for milk, but I guess if I don't like it now, I never will, Katie.
Milk for the likes of you, did you ever? here I've slaved my life away. Cooking, ironing, working like an old truck horse. Giving up my best years. And for what?
Oh, you're still pretty, Katie.
No, none of your fancy tongue, Timothy McShane. It's plain to see you're after money. Well, you'll get none from me.
Oh, Katie, ain't you ever going to believe me?
Now, don't wheedle, and you keep over there, you dirty old thing. I can just see Mary Kelly laughing her head off. She'll be telling everyone the old gossip. Did you hear about Katie McShane's man being carried home drunk again?
Well, since the plant closed down, no one cares anyhow.
Well, they're used to it, that's why. But they're laughing at me. I see them when I'm hanging up the clothes. I hear them tittering like and pointing at me.
Oh, Katie, I'm ashamed.
You're not. You'd do it again tonight if you had the money. The women all nudge one another when I go shopping. There goes Tim McShane's woman. Poor Katie. Poor thing.
Oh, poor Katie.
Yeah, they keep saying I don't know how she puts up with that old whiskey blotter.
Huh? They say that about me?
Yes, they do. You can be, but you're wrecking your life and spoiling it for your children, your own flesh and blood.
They don't even speak to me when they pass me by on the street. Well, that's not right. A child ought to know its own father when it's grown up.
Well, it's a fine place to see a father, leaning in front of a saloon and cigar store with his hat on the back of his head, legs crossed and an old cigar butt in his mouth.
Oh, I guess without work, I'm just a no-good-for-nothing bum.
Well, you're no bum.
Oh, you think not?
You're unemployed.
Willing to work? I'll dig ditches, Katie. I'll clean out sewers. I'll do anything, Katie, to have your respect. It's not my fault I'm not working.
But don't try to play on my pity, Tim. You ain't going to get a cent. Now, you sit down over there. Now be quiet and keep me company.
And Timothy McShane sat in the corner for over an hour. Quiet, humble, patient, as his wife scurried from the stove to the ironing board, picking up a hot iron as she worked away at the laundry. A scene repeated almost daily in the McShane kitchen.
If I only had a smoke.
Smoke and drink. It ain't every man makes it his life work.
I guess I was cut out for it. Other men are cut out for engineering or plumbing. I guess I'm just cut out for tobacco.
And drink.
And drink.
Mary Kelly will be here any minute. Oh, Katie, she'll say. I was just coming from the store, and I was wondering what you were cooking for supper. She'll be asking how you are. She's an old talking hag, she is.
I'm all right, I'll tell her.
She'll be coming right up to you and saying, oh, Katie, your man ought to be in bed. His eyes are so red, and she'll make you put your tongue out.
I won't do it.
Katie, she'll say, I heard your Tim was sick yesterday, in fever. Maybe a little spirits? Just a wee bit of whiskey will put him feeling right?
Well, it would, Katie. It would.
Well, you ain't gonna get it, you sinful old man.
Oh, Katie, look, don't call me that.
And what else should I call the likes of you? You don't stop to think of how you're humiliating me. How would you like to find me stretched out some morning on the front porch, dead as a log to sea, and with a silly grin on my face?
Oh, it might do you good, Katie.
Oh, the nerve! I never, Timothy McShane. Would you want to see your lawful wife laid out drunk before the eyes of the whole town?
Ah, no, Katie, no. I was only pretending. I would never. I swear it.
Fine sight it'd be. Well, like as not, I'd be called a drunken hussy.
Oh, poor Katie.
You're just as rotten as her man, Tim.
Not that, Katie. Please don't be saying that, Katie.
A lot you really care. It's a good thing I saved when we had it. A heap of scraping it takes to keep things going. What with the children painting their lips and curling their hair and the husband filling himself with whiskey.
My children painting their lips?
If you could see straight, you'd have seen it coming.
Ain't that terrible? Paint on their faces.
Well, it's a lot better than painting their insides with alcohol.
Well, to think my children... Oh, what a disgrace for you, Katie.
Oh, Timothy. Now, don't make yourself more foolish than you look.
You was pretty enough without paint, Katie. As pretty as a picture. Any picture I ever saw. Prettier than the flowers.
That's too late for poetry.
It's a poet I am. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you might have been if you could have seen the stars without a drink between your eyes.
What I might have been, Katie. Remember, if I had taken that job in the rug factory, I would have been somebody. Maybe a big man. And you might have been proud of me. Glad to walk down the street holding the arm of Tim McShane.
Well, that was 30 years ago.
30 years ago. Katie, I haven't been a good husband to you. I'm rotten through. No good. I ought to finish myself. That's what I ought to do.
Now, don't talk like that, Tim. You're not as bad as I say you are. You do have some nice points.
Oh, Katie, Katie, my darling.
Yes, but don't you come near me, you sinful old man. I don't want any of your hugging. And you're not getting a penny to go throwing away in Jim Kelly's saloon.
Oh, I don't blame you, Katie. I'm in your way. I'll go upstairs and lay me down a bit.
Now stay where you are, Tim. I'm not wanting to chase you. I want company. I'm in this kitchen all day sometimes by myself, wondering about everything and thinking and...
It ain't what you thought, Katie. Getting married, being left alone after your children grew up, and me turning out worthless?
No, Tim. It's not what I was looking forward to. I thought we'd be... Oh, well, what does it matter what we might have been? It's what we are.
Oh, Katie. You're not crying, are you?
Well, if I am, I don't need your hands on me. No. So stay where you are.
I don't like to see you cry, Katie.
Well, it's not often you do. Plenty of time to do my crying all by myself. Wondering whether you'll be brought back dead or alive. Timothy, if you only...
Katie, I will. I won't touch it again. I promise.
No, it's no use, Tim. I know you. You'll be drinking a toast to your promise before the week is out.
Oh, I'm ashamed, Katie.
What did I say? It's Mary Kelly coming to have a dig at me. I'll show her the old windbag.
If she tries to make me put out my tongue...
Look, keep quiet, you old fool. Now get upstairs and brush up. Hurry.
All right, I'm going, Katie. I'm going.
Hurry, hurry.
Timothy McShane stumbled up the stairs, lathered his face, and shaved off the overnight stubble. Next, carefully, he took a whisk broom to his old blue serge suit and brushed it off. Then, staring into the old walnut-rimmed mirror, he carefully parted his hair. And then he saw the faded old snapshot inserted in a corner of the mirror, a picture of himself and Katie, taken on their wedding day. 30 years before. His hand reached over to the photograph, even as he remembered placing his hand on his young bride's cheek right after the picture was taken.
Hey, you're not crying, Katie.
But not for being unhappy.
You are crying.
Because I'm happy,
too. Oh, I'll be blamed. I'll never be able to figure a woman out, leastwise you. Crying and you're happy.
Then that'll keep our marriage a long and happy one. You trying to figure me out.
I mean to make it my lifelong profession.
No matter whatever happens, I'll always love you, Tim.
Those weren't just words spoken to the minister?
No. They're part of my heart.
Mine too, Katie. No matter what, if I make a million, I love you just the same as I do now.
For better or for worse?
Always, Katie. I'll always love you. Oh, Katie, you made a bad bargain. A sorry, sorry, bad bargain. Katie.
Mary Kelly, well, it's good to see you.
I just thought I'd drop in and see what you're having for supper, Katie, my dear.
Same old stuff. Potatoes and beef stew. Well, won't you be sitting in the parlor?
In the parlor? It's not Sunday.
It's always Sunday when a friend visits. The best is none too good.
My, but your cooking smells good. What else are you making? Coffee? Maybe tea? Smells different.
No, it ain't the tea you smell or the coffee. Must be medicine.
Medicine? Is it that someone is sick? Tim, maybe?
That's it. Tim, he ain't feeling well.
My father, he was sick.
Oh, it was kind of your father to help Tim in the morning, Mary. He must have took a dizzy spell and fainted on the porch.
My father says he was snoring when he found him.
Well, I guess a man can snore when he's fainted.
You're trying to hide something from me, Katie McShane.
Now, what would I be trying to hide from the likes of you that knows everything that's going on?
You can't help noticing things that go on under your nose. If Tim was my man... You needn't make out as if you didn't know.
Didn't know? Didn't know what?
Now, Katie, don't go trying to pretend. Timothy was drunk again. Drink'll be the death of that man, and he'll be the death of you. It's a shame what he does behind your back.
Timothy don't do nothing behind my back.
You're not trying to tell me you approve of his coming home in such a condition?
Well, it's a little fun a man gets when his working time is over. I can't begrudge Timothy his pleasure.
Pleasure, you call it? You're trying to shield him, Katie. You don't fool me.
Timothy's a good man.
He's ruining your name in the community. That's what he's doing. They won't need any wooden Indian down at Kelly's with Tim leaning against the window all day and night. I pity you, Katie.
I don't need anyone's sympathy, Mary.
People are talking and noticing things, Katie. It's a shame to have to put up with the likes of a Timothy McShane. Maybe it'll be women next he'll go for. And I don't mind saying that it's causing me father and me uneasy feelings living so close to you as we do. It's a bad example Timothy sets for the other men folks.
Oh, you're not afraid for your father?
No, I'm not. My father, he's a good man. But seeing how your Tim is allowed to have his own way so much, he gets feeling like I hold him down.
Well, maybe he'd enjoy being with a Tim a day.
Oh, I wouldn't think of it. Well, meaning no disrespect to you, Katie. A fine sight it would be for the world to see two men carried home together, yelling and waking up everybody.
Tim never wakes anyone.
I dare say he doesn't. As you would be saying, he faints too easy.
Well, Tim's not a strong man. He does have his fainting spells.
Katie, you don't have to be making excuses to me. People don't faint every day.
Well, Tim isn't drunk every day.
Now that's something to be proud of. Tim's not drunk every day. It's no wonder he sleeps off one drunk so as he can get ready for the next.
My poor Tim.
Oh, it's poor Katie I be thinking of. You ought to get rid of that man of yours.
Oh, it's too late, Mary. I'm old now. It's queer how you think you'll stay a little longer just to see if things will change, and you keep staying.
You're a foolish woman, Katie. You could keep yourself well enough. You ain't getting paid none here to do his washing and cooking.
Well, it ain't paying I want now. Just having someone around. I get scared when I'm sitting all alone and thinking.
You're nothing but a thin-skinned fool, Katie.
Well, I guess it's them with sentiment in them that gets punished.
Like as not.
Ah, hello, Mary. How be you?
Oh, fair, Tim. And how are you today?
Oh, fine. Feeling just fine.
You don't have to stand over there by yourself, Timothy.
I don't... Oh, why, Katie, I thought it was a rule that,
no,
that...
Come here, Tim, come here. Can't you put your tie on straight?
Well, it's me eyes. Something's wrong with them. I can't see straight all the time.
My father was telling me you weren't feeling well, Tim. I hear you took a fainting spell.
Faint? Who, me?
Yeah, what are your spells it was, Tim?
Oh... Oh, to be sure. I get them awful. Just can't seem to hang together.
Oh, now, ain't that terrible. Like as not, it's only a temporary ailment. A drop of whiskey would fix you.
Oh, it would. That it would.
Well, you'll be all right with a cup of tea. You don't have to stand on top of me, Tim.
Katie, do I still...
Maybe a little air would be doing you good.
You look a little pale today, Timothy, and your eyes are red. Do you have a fever? Oh, Lord, protect us if you do. Let me see your tongue.
Ah, Mary.
Stick it out.
There.
Land sakes, isn't that the longest tongue? I never seen one so red.
I guess I'm healthy. Always was a healthy fella. Wasn't I, Katie?
You was a fine, strapping young man when I first set eyes on you, Timothy McShane.
Can you remember? You know, Mary, I met Katie in Canada. She was a Canadian.
A Canadian? Well, I never. You never told me he was a foreigner, Katie.
Well, I ain't now. I've been naturalized.
My father, he won't believe me. Katie McShane, a foreigner. With the things you learn in a day.
So, Mary, Tim, and Katie sat in the McShane parlor, each with his own private thoughts, each aware that there was something special in the air. The atmosphere of love. For Mary, it was a revelation. For Tim, a renewed declaration. For Katie, a reassurance. Cicely Tyson again. And here is the fourth act of The Lovers.
Yes. Katie was a pretty eyeful them days. She was, oh, such a figure she had, a perfect figure eight. Look at her in that picture.
Still.
I was thinking of marrying a widow. Her husband was dead. She had a lot of money, but then I saw Katie. Katie was the widow's maid.
An unlucky day for Katie, the day she set eyes on the likes of you.
Oh, I was a fine man then, wasn't I, Katie?
Stop chattering like a 16-year-old.
Lord, do I remember when Timothy McShane came a-courting Katie Riley? Remember me in my brown striped suit, Katie? That was a pretty sight, seeing me and Katie walking down the street, she in her Sunday best, and me in my derby and brown striped suit.
You'd never know it was the same people today.
Things change, Katie. You ought to have known that.
I'm satisfied with things as they be, Mary Kelly.
I remember... Oh, gosh, wasn't I the bashful one, though, Katie? You know, Mary, I wouldn't have kissed Katie except when she said she'd marry me. I just had to kiss her then.
It was the first man I ever kissed.
Katie, you were always light in the mind.
Well, you don't think she should have been kissing me before she was engaged to me, or anybody else. Think of the disgrace.
I am thinking.
Mary!
Katie'd never have married me if I hadn't been the gentleman. She'd never have forgiven me if I'd stolen a kiss.
I was always wishing you would, though, Tim. I was that much gone for you.
No.
Sure. Just to be grabbed, like, by the man you love and pretended to fight back. Oh, I'd never have been mad at you, Tim, but it would only be make-believe to save my virtue.
Well, think of that. Oh, look at all the fun I missed.
My late husband, he was bashful, too. But I made him propose. He told me after he was never so surprised when he found out he was engaged.
Poor old Michael.
Not you.
Is it poor old Katie you ought to be saying?
Schmitty.
I met Katie again. This time I was in the States. And I got so bedeviled for another look at her, I accepted the old widow's invitation. I went to visit Katie and the old lady in Canada.
Oh, he was a determined man then.
He had a different kind of spirit in him then than he does now.
I had to ride for 6 days on a horse. Bet you never knew I rode a horse, Mary, to get to the widow's place. I'd stop at farmhouses along the road.
The farmers must have hid their daughters.
Oh, no, I was a good one. I never had a weakness for a woman excepting Katie. Well, I stopped at the farmhouses for a night's rest and food. For 6 days, I had nothing to eat but oatmeal. Think of eating oatmeal for 6 days.
It'd do you good to eat some now.
I lost my appetite for it that week. I used to dream I was drowning in it. Well, finally, I got to the widow's. I was so tired and hungry. The widow, she asked me if I'd like some porridge. I says, yeah, it'd be very kind of you to go to the trouble. And she says... Oh, Timothy, it ain't no trouble for the likes of you. I smiled, and she sort of came over to my chair. I was feeling a little uncomfortable, so I reminded her as politely as I could that I'd like to try this porridge. So she ran out of the room. And that's when I seen Katie, looking down like she was framed in the doorway. There was a beautiful sight. Katie, standing there.
Oh, Timothy, be quiet.
A beautiful sight. A painting come to life she was.
Faith, and your man has an eely tongue. Come too, Tim.
So I was thinking what a blessing the Lord was doing for me, giving me the likes of Katie to feast me eyes on. And then the widow brings me the porridge. I almost fainted.
There, Mary, you see, he does faint.
Well, I didn't. I just got awful sick when I took one look at the porridge. I never heard such a fancy name for just plain mush. And me, what had been eating it for 6 whole days, had to be nice and swallow it. The widow, she kept saying how good it was. And I had to keep smiling, though the stuff seemed to be filling my insides and coming out my nose My ears, my eyes, my...
Timothy.
Oh, I never fell for fancy names like porridge again. Then, there was another time I remember...
Oh, don't talk so much, Jim.
But, Katie, I ain't got nothing else to do. I can't read. My eyes are still swimming from the fainting spell. I could smoke, but I ain't got a cigar.
Oh, here's a nickel. Go down and get one.
Oh, Katie, you're good to me.
Too good she is for you.
You're right, Mary. I'm just a good-for-nothing...
Now, don't go on like that, Tim. Mary's just playing jokes with you.
Oh, land sakes, it's getting late by your clock. I've got to go. I'm going home to get me father's supper.
What are you having?
Porridge.
Poor Dad.
He's used to it. And it's what I'd serve you instead of beef stew.
It's good my Katie's like she is.
It's right you be, Tim. But you have some fine things about you. You love your woman. That I can see.
I do that.
And she you. Well, I can do without. I'll be seeing you again tomorrow, Katie.
Good night, Mary.
Poor Michael. Porridge.
Well, it serves her right if she ain't got a man to love her.
How can she expect a man to love her when she fills him with mush? It makes his love feelings heavy.
Ah, poor Mary.
She hasn't got a Timothy McShane to hug her.
Oh, Tim, now stop it. Tim, hey, get away from this cooking. Go out and get an errand.
Oh, Katie, do I still...
Were they pouring the whiskey on your head?
Oh, well, maybe I spilled a little on my coat.
Well, you go out and get that suit in the air. I won't be able to eat any supper. Just the smell of it makes me tipsy.
Think of that. Just the smell of it makes you drunk.
No, don't you dare tell me I'm drunk, you no good little man.
Oh, Katie, you're not mad at me again, are you? Well, I'll go out for a walk and... Get me a cigar, Kelly's.
Jimmy, give me that nickel.
Oh, Katie, didn't you give it to me?
Give it, Jim.
Well, I was going to get me a smoke.
The kind of smoke you want is the kind that burns up your insides. Now give it back, Timothy McShane.
Oh, Katie. All right, here.
No. Stay there. I've got something for you. Here's... Three cigars I've been saving for you, Tim.
Three? Oh, Katie, you're wonderful to me.
Are you forgetting? Are you forgetting what today is?
Well, what is it?
It's your birthday, Timothy McShane.
No. My birthday? Well, think of that. How old must I be?
Don't go counting it. Don't matter how old you are, Tim.
And you bought me these cigars. Oh, Katie, you were always a thoughtful woman. How can I thank you for treating me so kindly?
Oh, Tim, it was nothing.
I'd kiss you, Katie, if I didn't have whiskey spilled all over my suit.
Well, you can if you be wanting. No, go out for your walk.
It's a wonderful thing you are, Katie. I should be kissing you again.
No, don't you dare, you smelly creature. And don't light that cigar in here. The place smells bad enough.
All right, Katie, I'm going. I'll be back soon, Katie. I'm going to tell the boys about my birthday.
All right, Timothy, be back for supper. Don't forget, be back for supper.
After Tim left, Katie McShane watched him from the kitchen window, smiling wistfully as he hurried to meet his friends. Then turning off the lights, slipping off her apron, she entered the parlor and seated herself on an old rocker before a large photograph of a younger Tim, encased in a fine old golden frame. Tears filled her eyes as she stared at the handsome young man. Suddenly, she sat upright. The door had opened. She sat stiff, still, frightened momentarily.
Katie!
Oh, it's you. I'm here, Tim.
In the parlor? What in heaven's name be you doing in the parlor, and it not be Sunday?
What in heaven's name be the president of the Tioga Beer Drinkers Association be doing at home when he's supposed to be celebrating with his members?
Well, it didn't seem right, Katie, on my birthday, me not celebrating with you.
Well, you'll be disappointing the whole organization.
Disappointing them be less of an ache than disappointing you.
Oh, you have a sweet tongue, Tim. Why don't you come in?
In the parlor? On a Saturday? Me?
Yeah. Sit beside me, Tim.
There's no making out a woman. Sitting in the parlor, in front of my old photo. I was a handsome something then. Now, who's sweet tongue and who?
Bring your chair closer, Tim.
It's a quiet celebrating, Katie, being here. But it beats all the beer spilling and toasting and loud speeches the boys like to give. Can I hold your hand, Katie?
You can, Tim. Well, I'll be making your supper soon.
It can wait, Katie. Celebrating my birthday in the parlor. I'm a happy man, thanks be to you, Katie McShane.
And I be a happy woman, thanks to you, Timothy McShane.
Love comes in many colors and shades. It comes in a glance, reveals itself in a touch, a moment of tenderness, or in a sudden smile. A simple phrase that escapes from a lover's lips, or in the silence of two people suddenly caught speechless in recognition of love's entry, or, as with the McShanes, in the quiet of an evening, holding hands, two people bound in love.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Lovers, was written by David Levy and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Dan O'Herlihy and Irene Tedrow. Featured in the cast were Peggy Ray, Richard Peel, Benny Rubin, and Ed McNamara. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Listen to us tomorrow. I've got another story of adventure about men and women defying the odds. Listen here, tomorrow.